Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're not actually diving into the mechanics of DeFi, you know, the smart contracts or the tokenomics. We're diving into something, well, something much more expensive in your portfolio.
The 6 inches between your ears.
Exactly.
We are tackling cognitive bias detection and correction, and we're tailoring it specifically for, let's face it, the high-octane, really unforgiving world of DeFi investing.
Right.
And the core idea we have to absorb right away is this. Your brain is a survival machine. It's amazing, but it's optimized for ancient dangers like saber-toothed tigers.
Not for 247 crypto markets.
Not at all. And when you expose that ancient hardware to all the volatility, the leverage, the instant feedback, you just end up making these really expensive psychological mistakes.
Yeah.
And they are completely predictable.
Predictable, yeah, but so easy to fall into. I mean, if you've ever found yourself buying a token just because your Twitter feed was blowing up about it,
We've all been there.
or if you've watched a position just bleed out to zero, refusing to sell because you just knew it would come back. Well, this deep dive is for you. It's your intervention.
And we have a framework. It's a systematic approach to first identify which specific biases are costing you the most money.
And then, crucially, to give you these concrete, sometimes counterintuitive protocols to neutralize them.
It really is the difference between trading based on analysis and trading based on anxiety. The legendary trader Jesse Livermore, he figured this out the hard way, what, a century ago?
Yeah.
He said, "The market does not beat them, they beat themselves." Our mission today is to give you the tools to stop beating yourself. So we need to start by identifying the true financial villains here, what we're calling the big three money
The big
destroyers.
three.
Yes, there are dozens of cognitive biases, but these are the most common and most importantly, the most expensive in DeFi, where you need speed and detachment.
Okay, so let's start with the one that builds that massive echo chamber, confirmation bias.
Yeah, think of confirmation bias as like intellectual comfort food.
I like that.
Once you've decided you're bullish on something, a new chain, whatever, your brain just actively seeks out info that confirms that belief.
And it filters out everything else.
It actively filters out anything that contradicts it. We are just wired for intellectual consistency, which is, frankly, terrible for investing.
And in DeFi, it's a complete portfolio killer. It means you're only following the bulls on social media. You're dismissing real smart contract concerns as just FUD.
Right. Oh, that's just FUD.
And you spend hours researching only the good news while totally ignoring, the fundamental flaws. It just creates this false sense of security.
We saw this play out so clearly and so tragically with the whole Terra Luna collapse.
Oh, yeah.
In early 2022, you had thousands of people ignoring these detailed, sober economic warnings about the whole model.
Okay.
They chose to focus only on the optimistic tweets, the high APY.
Anything that confirmed what they already believed.
Anything.
Yeah.
They picked comfort over critical analysis, and the cost was, a total loss of capital for so many.
A brutal lesson. Okay, so number two, the one that drives everyone crazy, FOMO.
The fear of missing out, or as we call it, the momentum killer.
Why the momentum killer?
Well, FOMO is rooted in loss aversion. Your brain. It doesn't really distinguish between money you actually lost and gains you could have had.
I see.
It treats that missed opportunity like a real loss, and that drives this urgent anxiety that makes you act, usually the worst possible time.
And the DeFi market just pours gasoline on that fire because everything moves so fast.
Exactly.
It's why you feel that gut punch to buy 5 minutes after a token has already done a 3x, thinking, oh, this time it'll just keep going.
This time is different. It makes you abandon a good, well-researched strategy just to chase whatever is trending on social media that morning.
The Dogecoin mania was a perfect example of this.
A textbook case.
Yeah.
Thousands of people bought in at the absolute peak, driven by nothing more than seeing screenshots of other people's gains.
And that feeling of, I can't miss this.
Exactly. It was pure urgency. No thought to supply, utility, tokenomics. Nothing. FOMO demands instant action, and instant action is almost always irrational action.
Okay. And that brings us to the third one, the true wealth destroyer.
Loss aversion.
Holding on to losers forever.
Daniel Kahneman's research on this is just foundational. He showed that losses feel roughly twice as painful as an equivalent gain feels good.
Twice as painful. Wow.
And this imbalance causes two really destructive behaviors. You sell your winners way too early to lock in that good feeling.
And you hold your losers way too long to avoid the pain of realizing that loss.
It's insidious in DeFi because it just traps your capital. You're holding a position you bought at $100, it drops to $30, and you refuse to sell because making that loss real is too painful.
So your money is just stuck, chained to a mistake?
It's dead capital. It can't be redeployed into a new, better opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the person who bought, say, a major coin at $4,000 and watched it crash to $1,000. Loss aversion is screaming, just hold on, it has to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But refusing to take that $3,000 loss means you're missing out on other projects that could genuinely return 50, 100%.
So understanding these biases is one thing, but the framework starts with an internal assessment, right? We have to quantify our own vulnerability.
Yes. This is phase one, the personal bias audit. And this is a critical step.
Why so critical?
Because most of us just assume we suffer from all three equally. But in reality, one of them is usually your Achilles heel. It's the one responsible for the majority of your losses.
Okay, so how do you figure that out?
You calculate your personal bias liability score. Yeah. You rate yourself on a 1 to 10 scale across 5 specific behaviors for each of the big three.
Can you give an example? Let's say for loss aversion.
Sure. For loss aversion, you'd rate a behavior like, I frequently add to a losing position to average down, even when there's no new positive reason to.
Oh, that's a classic.
Or, I find myself checking the all-time high price more than the current price. If you do that constantly, that's a high score, an 8 or a 9.
And for confirmation bias?
You'd rate something like, when I'm researching, I stop reading as soon as I find an article that confirms what I already think.
Guilty.
Or, I immediately mute or unfollow anyone who posts negative things about a project I'm invested in. These are objective things you do.
So this isn't about feeling bad, it's about collecting data on yourself.
Exactly. You calculate your score out of 50 for each one. Confirmation bias, FOMO, loss aversion.
And the highest score is your...
Your primary bias liability. That's where you have to focus your defensive energy first. Then you have your secondary threat and your hidden danger. By putting a number on it, you turn this vague, abstract fear into a measurable problem.
Right. From an emotion to data. That's the key.
That's what makes the protocols effective. So once the diagnosis is done, we move to the cure. Phase two is all about these systematic protocols.
And the goal here is to create friction, right? To slow down that emotional brain.
Precisely. To force your fast emotional system one thinking to just pause and let the slow analytical system two take over.
So let's start with fighting that intellectual comfort food. Protocol one, the confirmation bias breaker. You call it the red team exercise.
Yes. Before you commit any capital, you have to force intellectual balance. The exercise is a formal written audit.
Written down.
You have to write down three detailed evidenced reasons for the bull case. But, and here's the hard part, you then have to write three equally detailed evidenced reasons for the bear case.
That sounds simple, but I know how hard that is. It feels like you're trying to talk yourself out of a great idea.
It feels incredibly uncomfortable, and that discomfort is actually how you know it's working.
Okay.
To really push it, you also have to identify three credible devil's advocate sources, skeptics, basically, and actually consume their arguments.
And what's the last step?
The failure audit. This is crucial. You have to write down the answer to this question. What would have to be true for this entire project to go to zero?
Wow.
If you can't answer that honestly, you haven't done your homework. You're still in the bias zone.
Okay, next up, the countermeasure for that impulse buying. Protocol two, the FOMO firewall.
The best defense against FOMO is simply delay. We commit to the 48-hour rule contract.
The 48-hour rule.
You make a pledge to yourself. You will never invest in anything that's trending or pumping that you haven't researched for at least 48 hours. That time buffer filters out almost all of the pure hype.
But wait a minute, in DeFi, 48 hours can feel like an eternity. Won't I miss the real opportunities that move fast?
That's the fear that FOMO feeds on. But the reality is that a legitimate quality project with long-term potential will still be there in 48 hours.
Maybe at a slightly higher price.
Maybe, but with significantly less risk of volatility. The projects that pump and then immediately crash back to Earth, those are the ones the 48-hour rule saves you from. It's a quality filter.
And what do you do when that anxiety hits you in the moment, that urgent feeling?
That's when you use the FOMO emergency checklist. The second you feel that overwhelming urge to buy, you close all your charts, all social media, you set that 48-hour timer, and you complete the regret test.
The regret test.
You ask yourself, honestly, how will I feel if I buy this right now and it drops 90% tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is just crushing anxiety, it's FOMO. You walk away.
That forces you to think about the downside, not just the upside.
And you also use the opportunity cost calculator. You ask, what good rational opportunity am I ignoring right now because I'm busy chasing this pump? It pulls you back to your strategy.
Okay, finally, the cure for holding on to losers. Protocol 3, the loss aversion antidote.
This one is all about taking the emotion out of the decision before it has a chance to infect you.
So it's preemptive.
Totally. It's the pre-commitment stop protocol. Before you even enter a trade, you define and write down three things. Your maximum acceptable loss, your stop loss price, and your exact exit conditions.
And you have to stick to it.
You commit to honoring that stop no matter what. No hope, no checking Twitter, no second guessing. It's an unbreakable contract with your rational self.
And what about when you do take a loss? How do you handle the emotional fallout?
You use the tuition reframe exercise. You immediately reframe the financial cost as an educational cost.
Like paying for a lesson.
Exactly. The money you lost is tuition paid for. I now know that X is a bad signal. You then calculate the immense future value of all the losses you won't make because of that lesson. It turns failure into professional development.
And you always have to maintain that portfolio perspective.
Always. A $100 loss feels huge, but then you remind yourself, this is 0.5% of my portfolio. It's data, not a disaster.
So the big three do most of the damage, but the frameworks also highlight these secondary six traps that are constantly bleeding accounts. We should probably zero in on a couple of the most damaging ones.
For sure. And I think we have to talk about anchoring bias. It's so subtle, but so costly.
Explain that one.
Anchoring is when you fixate on a piece of data that's actually irrelevant now. Usually the price you paid for something.
Right.
Or it's all-time high.
Right.
And you use that old number as the baseline for your current decisions instead of looking at the objective reality of the market today.
I see this all the time. Someone buys ETH at, say, $4,800. They're psychologically anchored to that number.
So they can't bring themselves to sell at $3,500, even if every signal is screaming, get out. They're judging the current price against a past peak, not against current value. It just poisons your decision making.
Okay, what's another big one?
Overconfidence. This is the dangerous reward you get for being successful.
The winner's curse.
Yeah. After a few big wins, your brain is flooded with dopamine. You feel invincible, and that leads you straight into the leverage trap. You take on way too much risk. Your position sizes get bigger. You start thinking you're smarter than the market.
And we can't forget recency bias.
Oh, that's a huge one. Believing that whatever is happening now will just continue forever.
In a bull run, everyone's a genius and coins only go up.
And in a bear market, everyone thinks the pain will never, ever end. It makes people overcommit at the top and panic sell at the bottom.
So to fight all these, we need daily systems.
Daily preventative systems. We're drawing on Kahneman's work here again.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is always to activate system two, your slow analytical brain, over the fast emotional system one.
And the solution is almost laughably simple.
A mandatory 2-minute pause before any trade. That pause is just enough time for system two to boot up. And in that pause, you run the pre-trade bias checklist.
Just a few questions to ask yourself.
It takes 120 seconds.
Yeah.
Ask, am I just looking for info to confirm what I want? Is this trade because of social media hype? Am I holding a loser I should have already sold? Am I anchored to an old price?
And if you answer yes to any of those,
US stop key, the decision is flagged as contaminated, you just stop.
And finally, you mentioned the information diet.
This is about actively fighting your main weakness. If your audit showed your primary liability is confirmation bias, you have to force yourself to follow an equal number of smart bulls and smart credible bears.
And if it's FOMO,
you mute words like moon, 100x. You unfollow the game porn accounts. You deliberately starve your bias of the information it feeds on. What's really fascinating about all this is that these psychological flaws, they're not new. They're timeless.
Right. Jesse Livermore,
the greatest speculator of his time. His biggest, most devastating mistakes were because he fell for the exact same biases we're talking about today.
The only difference is that DeFi just accelerates and amplifies those mistakes by a factor of 10 or 100.
Exactly. His experience with overconfidence after success is legendary. After he made millions in the 1907 crash, he immediately started taking these dangerously huge positions.
He thought he was invincible.
He confused good timing with permanent genius. The modern protection for that is the exact opposite of what his ego wanted. You maintain or even reduce your position size for the next few trades after a big win.
It takes the euphoria out of the equation.
And with 100x leverage just a click away today, that psychological check is the only thing between you and total liquidation.
And his big loss aversion mistake. That was in the cotton market, right?
Yeah, he held these losing positions for way, way too long. He was just convinced his original analysis had to be right. He refused to admit he was wrong.
Which is why that pre-commitment stop protocol is so non-negotiable.
Livermore's hope cost him a fortune. Your hope just costs you trapped capital and mental energy. You have to set the stop before you enter and honor it ruthlessly. There's no time for hope in a 247 market. You need data.
And finally, he got suckered by confirmation bias, seeking out tips that just confirmed what he was already doing.
Today, that tip isn't from some guy on the trading floor. It's from an anonymous influencer or a pump group on Telegram.
But the protection is the same.
The protection is the same. The red team exercise. You have to actively research to disprove your own thesis. If you can't clearly state three good reasons why your idea might be dead wrong, you just haven't researched hard enough.
Okay, so let's bring this all together. Let's synthesize this into three immediate, high-leverage actions for everyone listening. First, complete your personal bias audit today. Figure out your primary liability score.
Knowledge of your specific weakness is power.
Second, commit to using that pre-trade bias checklist 100% of the time before any new capital goes anywhere.
It takes 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most reliable way to get your rational mind in the driver's seat.
And third, implement that 48-hour rule for every single situation where you feel that FOMO, that urge to chase momentum.
Let the hype die. Filter for quality.
These three changes alone will lead to measurable financial improvement.
And just remember this core idea. Successful trading is about managing yourself, not about managing the market. Knowledge is data. It's not emotion. And the most profitable habit you can ever build is bias detection, right before every single decision.
We'll leave you with one final provocative thought. The most expensive words in any speculative market, but especially in DeFi, are, this time is different. Your biases thrive on that single phrase. It convinces you that the laws of psychology and markets have somehow been suspended just for your trade. So we want you to actively consider this. Which of those big three destroyers will you catch yourself using in the next 24 hours? Because that awareness, that's the real start of systematic wealth generation.